Turn your Bibles to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The title of this lesson is Jonah Swallowed by the Fish. Now I'm not going to review anything from our past lessons up to this point, but I do want to make this statement. This one verse has been the source of a great deal of controversy among infidels through the years. How can a man be swallowed by a great fish, live in its belly for 3 days and nights, and then be vomited out on dry land alive to preach? Now, these questions are insurmountable to the natural man who looks at things through depraved reasoning. But God's people know that with God, all things are possible. And since God's Word states without apology, and really even without any explanation, it just simply states that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. As God's people, we ought to accept that truth without reservation. Now, I find it interesting that the ungodly and unbelievers never question for a minute how a hulking vessel of steel can house men under the sea for weeks and months at a time. Men are able to live and function in submarines quite well due to technological advances. If God can give that kind of knowledge and wisdom to men, then we shouldn't find it difficult at all to believe that He can cause one man to live in the belly of a great fish for 3 days and three nights. God is certainly wiser and more powerful than all of mankind put together. All of the knowledge of all the men that have ever lived cannot even compare to the infinite knowledge that God has. God is capable of doing anything He desires. But you know, many Christians fall into the trap of trying to explain miracles to infidels and unbelievers. We can't explain miracles. You can't explain it. It's beyond us. You can't explain how somebody can walk on water. How somebody can take a couple of loaves of bread and a few fishes and feed 5,000 men, and I think plus women and children. That's beyond explanation. You can't explain how one man can bear the sin debt of billions of people. I mean, think about all the people from Adam until the very last person saved. That's a lot of people. And Jesus Christ, that one person, His work was so perfect, He was able to pay the sin debt of all of His people in one sacrifice. That's a miracle. I can't explain it, but I believe it because it's in God's Word. We can believe miracles and declare that God has the power to perform them. We are not obligated to produce stories of men being swallowed by fish and surviving in order to believe the account of Jonah. God prepared a great fish. Jonah was swallowed by it, and he remained in his belly for 3 days. And it doesn't matter if all the infidels, liberal scholars, college professors in the world don't believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. I still believe it, because God said it. Jesus Christ, the living Word and source and substance of all truth, referred to this event during His earthly ministry. Jesus Christ, who is the personification of truth, by His own declaration when He said, "I am the way, the truth," He validated the authenticity of the record of Jonah in Matthew 12 and verse 40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." The reason why I know and why I believe that Christ regarded the historical account of Jonah as not only valid and accurate and authentic is because He uses that to talk about His literal resurrection from the dead. Christ used the record of Jonah to show forth His death, burial, and resurrection. After 3 full days and nights, Jesus rose from the dead just as Jonah had been in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. Now, it comes to this. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe it's authoritative? And I'm going to tell you, most people don't believe it. Most people do not believe the very first verse of the Bible. They've been fed from K through 12, on into college, graduate school, doctorate levels, that you can't believe Genesis 1:1. This is what we are up against, folks. This continual indoctrination of evolution, criticism of the Holy Scriptures, the denial of the authority of the Word of God. And when you make statements like, "Yes, I believe Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Yes, I believe God created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days and that He rested on the 7th day. Yes, I believe in a young earth." You're crazy. That's how the world will portray you. I've said it many times. When was the last time you heard a politician, an elected official, come out and make statements like that? They won't do it. They're scared to death to make any kind of profession like that. Or to say without reservation, "I am a sinner. I've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved by His grace. I'm going to live for Him. And the decisions that I make, I'm going to go to God and seek Him so that I can make right decisions." You don't hear that at all. I believe the Word. And the fact is, there are people sitting in Baptist churches. I'm not talking about Protestant churches. I'm not talking about Catholic churches. I'm talking about Baptist churches. who are sitting in Baptist churches today who really don't believe in creation. They don't believe in the account of Jonah. They may be there to fulfill some social obligation that their parents taught them to observe. But to really believe the Bible, to make application of it in their daily life? Do you really believe the Bible? What, are you in a cult? Uh-huh. See, this is how the world indoctrinates people. I believe the Bible. I believe it from cover to cover, without reservation. I can remember when I was first saved and I'd be reading the Bible and I read where Jesus healed blind men and walked on the water and unstopped the ears of the deaf. And I used to remember, there ain't no way, how can that be? I'd gone to school K through 12. I was in college at the time and I thought to myself, this is the first time I really ever read the Bible. And I had just been saved. And I'd go to God on my knees and say, Lord, I don't know how in the world all this stuff can be true. But I'm trusting that it is true. I believe it. And God strengthened my faith. I had a lot of things to overcome. Not doctrinal things. But I didn't know nothing, really. God had sovereignly prepared the great fish to swallow Jonah. God had miraculously preserved the life of Jonah as he sunk into the depths of the sea and then caused the great fish to swallow the prophet who was tangled in seaweed at the bottom of the ocean floor. How could he live through that? And then you think fish are naturally afraid of men. But God directed this fish right to where Jonah was and commanded that fish to swallow him. To believe this account, you have to believe that God is in control of all men and all animals. And all events in His creation. And as I read this, I wonder what went through the mind of Jonah as he spent 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish. That'd change your thinking, wouldn't it? He must have grieved over his sin. He must have thought of his foolishness in rebelling against God. He must have expressed godly sorrow for his conduct. And he must have been truly frightened in the blackness of the fish's belly. May God grant us grace to see the severity of God's chastisement in some cases. We should never look at sin lightly. It can bring upon us some most undesirable circumstances and difficulties. And I pray that God will grant us grace to learn lessons from the chastisement of Jonah. I'll never forget 1981, the very first Bible conference I ever went to. It was a Monday night at Bryan Station. And I was all ready. I was so pumped. We were singing congregational songs. There must have been 400 or 500 people there. And we were lifting the rafters, man. Lifting the roof off of that church house. And then old Wilbur Johnson gets up to preach. He was about 80 years old. He looked like he was about 6'10" to me. I think he was about 6'6", but he just looked so tall and lanky. And I thought, what in the world has this old guy got to say? He got up and preached on the heavens do rule. And he was talking about how God always brings about His purpose no matter what men may do. Man can't thwart it. He said, don't you remember old Jonah? He had to go to Whale Tech to learn his lesson. He had to go to that school to learn his lesson. And I thought, wow, God is able to carry out His purpose. Some practical applications on the last few verses of Jonah chapter 1. God always uses His Word to bring about conversion in the lives of His elect. Those mariners would have remained in darkness if Jonah had not declared to them the true and living God. You see, Jonah had no intention of preaching either at Nineveh or on board the ship that he took sailing to Tarshish. But God ordered providence in such a way that the rebellious prophet would preach to some of God's elect and witness their conversion out in the middle of the storm-tossed sea. As we see the greatness and goodness of God operating in our lives, we ought to do what those mariners did. We ought to lift up our voices in praise and worship to the Most High God. Our hearts should be flooded with gratitude and thanksgiving to our Lord for the great and mighty things that He's done in our lives. We ought to respond to God's goodness and grace by vowing like they did to serve Him all the days of our life. The most unbelievable and controversial accounts and stories in the Bible can be believed by a child of God whose heart has been humbled by sovereign grace. If God states something as fact in His Word, we ought to believe it without reservation, regardless what others may think or say. Let us learn how harsh, lastly, God's chastisements can be as we review the account of Jonah. Chastisement for sin is not to be taken lightly. God is serious when He chastises His people. And from the account of Jonah, we know that God's chastisement can be most severe. Let us then hate sin, depart from evil, and obey God's commands to avoid the chastening hand of our holy and righteous Father. We're dismissed.